You go on to say, both Calvinists and Arminians have done good things for God in the church. Some Catholics, especially prior to the 1500s, were useful for God's glory. Charismatics and cessationists have helped grow the kingdom. Different groups have been useful at different times for God. This is not ecumenicism, yet out of fear of being too ecumenical, or just out of ignorance, most refuse to learn about other groups. Seminaries proliferate this by using church history as a subservient class to the theological departments. And we kind of talked a little bit about that before. But, Troy, I'm scared to look at church history. It might show me that the Catholic Church is the one true and only church, and I have to go there, or that all my beliefs are can't be found until 15 minutes ago, or that yeah. people in different theological camps were useful for the things of God. Why is that not the attitude to have about looking at church history? It's scary back then. They don't look like me.
See, I think it's great because the opposite approach is true too. Wow, I don't have to have all the right answers to be used by God. Look at all these wrong people that God chose to kindly use. I may have all the greatest theology today, but he still used all these other secondary theologians as how you could view it as well, right? Like the thing is, and this is something that's really hard for us today. It's not about right answers. Yes, the right answer, obviously Jesus Christ. Yes, the Trinity. Okay, like those answers, yes. We need to have those primary doctrine, Christian issues figured out. But we don't have to have the same eschatology. We don't have to have the same view of the gifts. We don't have to have all these perfect things to match up. And we all go, okay, like, I don't know if I agree with that. Yeah, you do. Because ask your missionary that your church supports or that you know, if they know people out on the field that maybe view God differently, and they'll go, yes, I do, and we all work together just fine. And you'll go, oh, of course, that totally makes sense because you guys are in a different environment. Well, if it's okay for them, then you know it's okay for you as well, right? Like, you don't have to have everything great. One of the things that makes Charles Spurgeon so interesting is he has a quote about every single human that ever lived up until his day. Like, if you look up, like, the most obscure person, you'll find a quote, like, Charles Spurgeon liked his book on this. Charles Spurgeon really had a lot to say about that. And you're like, how did he manage to talk about everybody? Oh, did they work at Princeton? He called them the Princeton Worthies. Oh, is this a guy from the 1600s? No. Charles Spurgeon said he loved his letters. Oh, what about this guy in the 1700s? The greatest theologian of his century. Charles Spurgeon complimented everyone and said everyone was the greatest person of all time. But he has read everybody. It didn't matter to him what spectrum they were. Spurgeon has lots of great things to say about that. Martin Luther is actually quite similar. He has a lot to say about everybody. And I think that we need to get back to a place, not where we embrace everyone as true. Look, there are definitely lines. I apologize, Jehovah's Witnesses, you're over there. We're not in the camp, okay? But I also have to look over and go, look, we have our disagreements, but as the persecution gets more intense, we're gonna probably not look at those disagreements as such a big deal anyway. Let's move forward. I'm gonna respect that you are preaching Jesus Christ crucified and the Bible is God's word, and you're leading a church service that way. I would lead it differently. Guess what? But we can still both work in the same city and do lots of great things for the kingdom of God. And when I look at church history, it would be great if everybody in there was, you know, some people would say an Anglican, some people might say a Southern Baptist, or, you know what, I would like everyone to be, the Presbyterians will certainly wish everyone was a Presbyterian. But, you know, as great as it would be, I'm sorry, Reformed, there are Christians outside of your camp as well, and they did great things for the gospel, and you're going to get to heaven, and they're going to be probably way closer to the throne than us, right? And we're going to go, well, it would have been cool. What was it? Gosh, was it Martin Lloyd-Jones? No, maybe it was R.C. Sproul. Man, I'm going to totally butcher another quote. I apologize. But it was somebody like Martin Lloyd-Jones, R.C. Sproul, said of Billy Graham, I think it was, like, hey, is that person going to be in heaven? And that person was like, no. I think it's George Whitefield and John Wesley. One of those guys was basically like, that person's going to be so much further ahead of me. I'm not
Wesley.
Even like, I definitely moved that 200 years forward. So it was Wesley. Speaking of Whitefield, and he was like, that guy's gonna be so much closer to the throne. I'm not even gonna be able to see him. Like, it's gonna be so much closer. Yeah. John Wesley and George Whitefield, those two, you could not clash harder than those two did. I mean, really, truly, just an angry feud between them, yet they resolved it. And they are the quintessential Calvinist and Arminian fighting, right? If those two can get to a place where they're okay, we all need to get a little bit better at embracing our fellow brother in Christ. And then, which is hard because we had the fake person pretending to be a Christian over here. We had the person who thinks he's a Christian, but it's not over there. And then we have Christians who don't think like us that we have to learn to get along with. It is tough, and yet that is what we're called to do. And that's just what we have to do. It's a little bit tough. Then be guided by prayer and let the Lord help you do it.